Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus, whenever we think about a legacy, don't we connect it with death? It is the deceased who leaves a gift to someone who is living. Not so with our Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, he died all right. But then he rose from the dead, and now everything is all right. Today he lives, and he has passed on to us, his church, his legacy. But unlike a legacy that is left to the living, it was a legacy left to those who were dead, but now are alive in him, are alive in his resurrection from the dead. This is a twofold legacy. It is a legacy that the Old Testament scripture promised. It's a legacy that the Son of God fulfilled by becoming the Son of Man and dying on the cross and on the third day rising again. It is a legacy that he then endowed to his church before he ascended into heaven. Evangelist Luke exquisitely and concisely describes our twofold Easter legacy in the words of our text. First, it is a legacy of peace in the resurrected Christ. And secondly, it is a legacy of official work as Jesus' disciples. The reaction of Jesus' disciples on Easter evening of being startled and frightened is not without precedent. In the book of Judges, we read that a particular judge by the name of Gideon was working one day and suddenly the Son of God appeared to him, the angel of the Lord. And we read that Gideon was frightened when he saw the Lord. But then the Son of God told and greeted Gideon, "Peace." The Son of God used a greeting that became common everyday use among the Israelites to wish one another peace when they met. The angel of the Lord said to Gideon, "Peace, do not be afraid," because Gideon thought he was going to die because he had seen God. Jesus greeted the disciples on Easter evening, "Peace," because they thought they'd seen a ghost. They thought they were seeing Jesus' spirit standing there before them. The disciples were startled and frightened because they were bewildered and confused. Some of the other disciples told them earlier in the day, "We have seen the Lord." Their women had told them, "We've seen Jesus." Two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus had met Jesus and then related what happened on the way, how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And now, here they saw before them what they thought was this specter. But Jesus immediately wanted to put their minds and their hearts at ease. He told them, "Peace be with you. It is I, myself. I'm not a ghost. I'm not a spirit. Here I am, standing right here in flesh and blood and bones." And then he told them what he would tell Thomas a week later, "Touch me. See that I'm really here before you." And then while they were still with joy trying to get their minds around what was going on, Jesus asked them if they had anything to eat, because a ghost, a spirit, can't eat. And so he ate a piece of boiled fish. St. Augustine, the church father, said he ate that fish not out of necessity, but to manifest his power. His power, that here he was standing before them with a legacy of peace in the resurrected Christ. The words peace in Hebrew carry with them the idea of soundness, of wholeness, of health and prosperity. When Jesus said to the disciples on Easter night and gave them this legacy of peace, he didn't do it in words that were a pious wish, but with words that are power and accomplish the very blessings that the words mention. So when Jesus said, "Peace be with you," he was endowing them with a legacy of peace. Peace that was there in his physical resurrection from the dead. His resurrection endows the peace and the joy that the scriptures and he had promised before his death. He had promised them a joy that no one can take away. He brought about this peace by his blood. As Paul affirms to the Colossians, peace through his blood shed on the cross. On the one hand, Jesus rebuked his disciples for their doubt and their fear. And then on the other hand, he dispelled their doubts and fears with peace and joy. You know how the brightness of the dawn displaces the darkness of the night? It just seems to fill it and remove it. When Jesus said, "Peace be with you," and they touched him and they saw him and he ate, he gave them that legacy of peace and joy that displaced, that dispelled the doubt and the fear and the darkness in their hearts. The power of Jesus' words and the sight of their own eyes assured them that what they had heard indeed was true. That legacy of peace in the resurrected Christ is our Easter legacy first and foremost. It is for us the legacy that is promised by the Old Testament. It is the legacy that was accomplished by the Son of God becoming the Son of Man, dying. It is the legacy that is ours in the resurrected Christ. It is the legacy that dispels our doubts and our fears with peace and with joy. Each and every time you and I hear the gospel, we hear our Lord Jesus say peace and endow us with that legacy, a legacy that is ours now and forever, a legacy that gives us spiritual soundness, a legacy that gives us spiritual health, a legacy that gives us spiritual wealth and prosperity. As the Bible says, "For your sakes, Jesus became poor, so that through his poverty, we might become rich." Our legacy is the forgiveness of all of our sin and the promise of eternal life with the Lamb at his marriage feast in heaven. You and I, like those first disciples, received that twofold Easter legacy: peace in the resurrected Christ. But Jesus didn't tell his disciples, "All right, I want everybody to take a seat and just sit and enjoy that and wait for me to return." He did say, "You are my witnesses, and I'm going to send you out with that legacy to share with others. I want you for a while to remain in Jerusalem, because I'm going to send you from my Father whom I promise. Recall that Jesus had promised them the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, who would come and who would lead them into the truth. Jesus had gone away for a couple of days, but now he had come back. And he would be with them for 40 days, and then he would go away from them again. And so he gave them another legacy of Easter, the official work of being his disciples. And I mean official in the sense of office. Somebody's office is their position. It's their authority. It's the place where they do their work. Jesus said to them, "You are my witnesses, and I'm now going to give you the legacy of this office of sharing my good news, my salvation with others. I'm going to set you in the office of my ambassadors who will represent me and go out into the world beginning in Jerusalem. This will be your official work. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim or publish peace." So that they would be able to do that, they would be put into this legacy of this office of ambassadors. The Apostle John, the Evangelist John, tells us that Jesus did that by saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained." He gave them the office of the ministry of the keys. This was the placing them in that position of ambassadors, not for the letter that kills, but for the letter, not for the letter of the law that kills, but for the letter of the Spirit that gives life. And later, on Pentecost, he would pour out the Holy Spirit on them again in great abundance to give them the zeal and the courage and the gift of languages to be able to do that. So in that second of the twofold Easter legacy, Jesus endows them with the Holy Spirit, putting them in the office of ambassadors, and promises them the coming of the Holy Spirit to give them courage and strength and the ability to share that word in different languages. And now, they believed in him because they had seen him. They were overjoyed and yet still trying to get their minds around it. Jesus did for them what he had done for the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He opened their minds so they could understand Scripture, so that they could preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You and I also enjoy that Easter legacy of official work as Jesus' disciples. It's almost certain that in the upper room on Easter night, it was not only the apostles, but there were lots of other of Jesus' disciples who were there also. Christ did not give this work to the clergy alone. He did not build his church on some kind of ordained clergy above everybody else. Christ endowed this official work of being ambassadors to all the church, to every believer, to use the ministry of the keys to go out into the world. You and I have received the Holy Spirit for that work through baptism, through the preaching of the gospel, in the Lord's Supper. When we study his word, when we hear his word, what do we pray? "Lord, send me your Spirit through this word and open my mind so that I can understand the Scriptures." And the Holy Spirit does that and leads us into the truth. So in a very real way, you and I have received, other than Jesus standing here visibly with us, he's here with us actually, physically, but not visibly. But the Spirit opens our minds and our understanding just as he did through Jesus' words to them on Easter evening. This official work as Jesus' disciples continues for us as our Easter legacy. We do that work in the peace that is our Easter legacy in the resurrected Christ. We do it in the work that we have not chosen for ourselves, that we don't understand, but work that Christ has called us to and the Spirit gives us understanding for. And we use that to take that message into the world to bring more sinners to Christ and the fellowship of the church. In the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God." That is our official work. We are peacemakers because God has made us live in peace. We carry out our lives as Christians in the peace of Jesus' resurrection. Because it's not the legacy of a dead man to the living. It's a legacy of a living man to those who were dead, but by the power of his resurrection has given us his life. We are living ones in the name of the living one, our resurrected Savior. Amen. And now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.